delightful song. Tom Torero podcast, episode number 191. I hope, like me, you have a gigantic ego. You have ridiculous delusions of grandeur if you're a pickup artist, certainly if you're starting out. That's the topic of today. Having a big ego, why it's a necessity, how it links to that song that you just heard, and where I am. We shall come onto that. But before we begin, as ever, because I need to make money, I'm giving you this shit for free. An upsell to my books, specifically my printed books. I use the publisher Lulu. They print the books and they ship them to you around the world. And they are running 15% off all print books. It doesn't apply to the Kindle stuff. It's until the 18th of April. And the code to use at checkout is 15. Not the number 1 and 5, but written O-N-E-F-I-V-E in capitals. I'll put the code below. You can get Day Game, my first book, Torero Travels, Cold Calling, Below the Belt, last year's book, and my textbook, The Bible, Street Hustle, all of them 15% off each. Okay, hello, privyet, once again from Russia, where I'm pleased to say winter really is over. Many times it tricked me into thinking it was over, and then the snow came back. Even in Finland, the van was buried in snow. But now the temperatures are well above zero. People are stumbling around with a kind of drunken, happy face. Perhaps they are drunk in Russia, but it's the first time I've seen people smiling. They look like bears coming out of a snow cave, delirious, confused. What is this warmth? What is this sunlight? Girls have removed their winter coats. So would I ever do a Russian winter again, a full Russian winter? No. But I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I filmed it and did pick up in the snow. So yes, everybody's happy, and Day Game is a lot easier. I shall tell you a Day Game story at the end of the podcast, which boosts my ridiculous ego, and why I encourage you to have a big ego. And why did I play that song about Rasputin, a cover of Boney M's delightful Ra Ra Rasputin? Well, let us look at the lyrics. There lived a certain man in Russia long ago. He was big and strong, just like Tom Torero, in his eyes a flaming glow. Most people looked at him with terror and with fear, but to Moscow chicks, he was such a lovely dear. He could preach the Bible like a preacher, full of ecstasy and fire. But he also was the kind of teacher women would desire. Ra, ra, Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen. There was a cat that really was gone. Ra, ra, Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine. It was a shame how he carried on. And this morning, after a lay yesterday, so I was walking around with my shoulders back, that drunken giddiness about me, I went for a sunny walk along the canals here in St. Petersburg. And I got a coffee and realized that the coffee shop was just a few doors down from the former residence of the mad monk who died just over 100 years ago in this city, Gregory Rasputin. I'm sure you've heard of Rasputin. Perhaps you've even thought about the links between Rasputin and game, the dark triad elements that make up Rasputin's attractiveness. He was a mystic. He was a self-proclaimed healer. That's how he did a bit of snake seduction, getting into high society and then into befriending Tsar Nicholas II, and then certainly befriending his wife through quote-unquote healing of his son on numerous occasions. He was a self-proclaimed holy man. I think he came from Siberia, but he ended his days here quite dramatically, if you believe the multiple enigmatic mystical stories of Rasputin's death. But anyway, I'm obviously interested in Rasputin from him being a womanizer, because after he became this self-proclaimed healer, people would go to the apartment, which I walked past this morning, and people wanted to be healed, and then old women would come and he would do healing. He would take money for these healing sessions, and then obviously through this charisma and through this dark magnetism, attractive women would come and see him into the night. So not only did he perhaps sleep with some of the royal family, but he slept with a lot of women in Russia, and his methodology, he would say, was attaining grace through sin. What a fantastic hustler. So he enjoyed a bit of the old alcohol. He enjoyed running that hustle of healing for money, but he also was a seducer, drawing people in. Now, there's lots of mythology about Rasputin, but facts are facts, and the history's there. There's even photographs and footage of Rasputin, so you can consider why he was attractive to women and how he rose the ranks from Siberian peasant to, you know, being in the Winter Palace and being part of the Russian royal family. Well, through sheer delusions of grandeur. See, you knew I would link it eventually. Two dark triad traits, specifically with Rasputin. What are the dark triad traits? Well, I write a lot about this in last year's book, Below the Belt, why pickup artists have, or good pickup artists, great pickup artists, have certainly elevated levels at times of the three dark triad traits. Narcissism, which today's podcast is about, Machiavellianism, which is the definition of game, being sneaky, and psychopathy. So no, not being a serial killer, but having that coldness about you, where you can have abundance, where you can move on, where you're not crying over one particular girl who you've never slept with, you just fancy her at the gym or in your office. Shoot the puppy, you can move on. That's a necessity for moving place to place, i.e. black sheep, and for moving girl to girl. And did Rasputin have elevated levels? For sure. Yeah. You have to have this narcissism about you. You have to have this irrational self-confidence at the beginning. You have to be a blagger. That's why I called it hustling. Because let's zoom out and consider what is game, what is pickup. Pickup at the beginning, for sure, certainly, for the first few years, and you could argue indefinitely, is faked SMV, is faked sexual market value. At the start, you're coming from a place with a lower sexual market value than you'd like. So game principles are teaching you high value male behavior, high SMV male behavior. So in the beginning, pickup is a mask. Pickup is something you put on. It doesn't feel normal. You change your clothes, you start peacocking, you change your walk, you change your posture, you change your smirk. You have to fake the aloofness. You have to fake abundance. You have to rehearse your escalation steps. You have to fake being cocky. Certainly for the nice guy, for the timid guy, for the shy guy, you're not used to negging hot girls or teasing hot girls or adding in sexual spikes. You have to learn all this. This is what game is. And people will try and shame you for it, saying game is manipulation, game is fake. Well, in a Darwinian sense, you are faking a guy who naturally, if you believe in natural seducers, somebody who naturally exhibits these high SMV behaviors. You're having to learn it. But this is where the chicken and egg, fake it till you make it thing comes from, right? Because you're faking it at the beginning, but by putting these behaviors on, putting this mask on, hopefully over time, like Rasputin, it goes from mask to metamorphosis. Fake it till you make it leads to making it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So Rasputin has to fake being the bee's knees. He has to fake being a healer. He has to fake being a dark triad master. But over time, when enough reference experiences come your way and enough people confirm that you are that person, well, you embody it, you become it. And then does game become a lot easier? Yes. Do you have to think about what you're doing? Do you have to think about your escalation steps? No. So if you're just getting into game, blag it. You're going to fake it. You're going to fake the swagger. You're going to fake the cockiness. As I said, you're going to fake the aloofness. The peacocking, the new fashion is going to feel weird. Escalating out of comfort is going to feel weird. But it's just getting the reference experiences until you can do it on autopilot. And then, yeah, there is an argument for saying you are not thinking about pickup, that you really have raised your SMV by a few points, and you have situational competence. Can you be confident at everything? No. The definition of confidence, I've said many times in talks, is situational competence. So, do I know how to play basketball? No, I have zero situational competence. So am I confident at playing basketball? No. But am I confident with talking to girls on the street, texting them, going on dates, pulling them back, sleeping with them? Yes, because I've ingrained these behaviors again and again and again on autopilot. So, as Muhammad Ali said, it's not bragging if you can back it up. That narcissism that people will accuse you of, if it's achievement-based, well, eventually the delusions of grandeur are grand. They are wonderful. The delusion melts away. Back in April 2016, I think it was, from Italy, from Rome, I made one of those Torero tomfoolery videos called I Have a Big... And it was about having this big ego and not apologizing for it. Certainly if you're just getting into game and people are trying to shame you, or if you start putting out content, or if you start exhibiting your paintings or photographs or publishing a book, people will say, stay in your lane, you know your place, keep your head down. Don't you dare suggest that you're making it in any kind of form. You'll be shamed for this by other guys. That's the sad thing, by other guys, crabs in the bucket kind of thing. But if you're a content creator, if you're on YouTube, if you have a personal brand, well, by definition, you are a narcissist, right? All humans are narcissists. This is very Darwinian. Anyone who's ever won an Olympic gold medal, as I say in that video from Rome, anyone who was a Roman emperor, the building of Rome, this is based on male competition. This is healthy. This is Darwinian. Any mountain climber, someone who's looked at a Himalayan peak and said, I'm going to climb that. And this involves a healthy amount of delusions of grandeur. I often get emails saying, Tom, you have a big ego. You need to lose the ego. You need to do meditation. You need to align your chakras. You need to get over this. But that's a shaming tactic. You wouldn't say that to somebody who's striving to win that medal, or to the mountaineer, or to Tiger Woods yesterday at the Masters, that epic comeback in golf. He was shamed many times. Tiger Woods was shamed many times for having this ridiculous ego, delusions of grandeur. Well, who's laughing now, you know? That's a ridiculous comeback to win the Masters after, what was it, a 10-year gap, and being shamed in the press, being shamed for being a bad boy. The smile on Tiger's face, that was an illustration of this podcast topic. And as the saying goes, a rising tide lifts all boats. So people watching that comeback yesterday, they'll feel inspired. People that had had a slump, that had been shamed for other things, they'll watch that comeback and they'll think, well, it's possible. Think of Roger Bannister, the man who broke the 4-minute mile in Oxford, I think it was in the early 50s. And until he had run that distance in under 4 minutes, obviously nobody had done it. He was the first person, by definition, to have done it. But very, very soon after, I can't remember how long that record stood for. It was just a matter of days or weeks. Many people copied it. Many people achieved what he had done after he was the first person to break that limit. So how does that apply to day game? Well, you read about a same-day lay story, a fast, crazy same-day lay. You read about a threesome story. You read about a lay report from a new day game destination, the first person to go there and to try it out. And then many people follow. Many people are inspired to do it. Many people see that it's possible and they go for it. So at the beginning, this is good. And if you're just starting out as a nice guy, as a shy guy, as a timid guy, as a quiet guy, you need more ego. You need to walk with more swagger. You need more delusions of grandeur. Try visualizing what you're going for. So what is your specific target? Do you want to bang a stripper? Do you want to bang a girl in a toilet? Do you want one lay a month? Do you want one lay a week? Do you want to beat your wing? Healthy competition at the start is good. So being inspired by other people's successes, stuff you read on the internet, your wing stories, competing with your wing, that's all good. But what's the danger of competition? What's the danger of ego? Well, it can backfire. It can get out of control. If you can't back it up and it's just a mask forever, then by definition, you're just a parody of yourself. It can create tensions with wings. It can create depression in that you're now just picking up girls to show off to other men, just to create content. I wrote a blog post on this recently called Morphing Motivations. How there's a danger in day game, certainly I've noticed in the last few years, where you're taking what was once quite an innocent, pure craft, going out, talking to girls, trying to smash girls for your sake, for the joy of doing this, a bit like any other underground subculture. Think of skateboarding, think of surfing. What happens when it goes mainstream? It's about beating records, it's about league tables, it's about who's the best, it's about sponsorship, it's about getting on TV. Of course, it morphs. So competition at the beginning can be good, but it can be detrimental if you're just walking around. I know guys that are walking around doing the calculations in their head about approach to number and number to date, and okay, I'm down this month by 0.246 and my wing got 1.65 improvement. You know, this is getting away from why you're originally doing day game. So it's a double-edged sword. An ego can leave you feeling depressed if you never move from mask to metamorphosis. I talk about this in Below the Belt, but if you're not enjoying day game, if you're an intermediate going through a slump, read that blog post, Morphing Motivations. A couple of other ways to initially boost your ego for day game is, first of all, write down your successes. You don't have to publish them on a blog or on Twitter, which can lead to what we just talked about. But in the beginning, for myself, I had a locked blog and I had a lot of documents and data where I would record the positives. I've encouraged you to do this before, but I don't think enough guys do it. They just write down the negatives. They dwell on the negatives. This is how much I got blown out this week. This is my failure rate. This is the girls I didn't approach. I was the complete opposite. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. Delusions of grandeur in the beginning. I would go home and write down the positives. So I managed to do this. This girl smiled. I managed to do a two set. I managed to get an email. I managed to get a Facebook. I kissed a girl on a date. Couldn't believe it. I would write up field reports. Then I would write up lay reports on forums. I was into forums for about a year on this London seduction forum. And I would read other people's lay reports, and there would be that sense of competition. There would be that sense of camaraderie. It would kick me up the arse. And then I was lucky to have very good wings. I winged with Rami, with Tony Hustle. Tony Hustle was extremely competitive. And in Below the Belt, I talk about why that's good, why that's bad, the fuel to the fire, how the fire can consume you. But how, without meeting people like Rami or Tony Hustle, or living with loads of day gamers in Marble Arch, I wouldn't have got to where I was. Ironically, also, when people try and put you down, when people try to say, stay in your lane, keep your head down, they try to quash your delusions of grandeur, I find that that spurs me on even more. It's probably from being bullied at school. But all the good things I've done, all the books I've written, all the talks I've given, all the decent videos, in my opinion, that I've made, have been soon after I've gotten some hate mail, or, you know, you've been roasted, or someone's implied that you shouldn't be doing it. My natural reaction is, well, fuck you, and I'm going to prove you wrong. Now, again, that is ridiculous. From a personal level, if you just live for that, it can get you into trouble. But for results, for Tiger Woods saying fuck you and making a comeback, it certainly leads to results. And for climbers trying to scale peaks, knowing that there are other climbers who want to do it, failing, having people say that you can't do it, is great fuel for your personal fire to say fuck you. So anyway, coming back to how you can boost your ego, write down your successes. Consider coaching, right? Not many people think about this, but coaching's good in that you can earn money from doing day game if you're intermediate and above. You know, you can collect some phone numbers, you can demo, so you can show guys different scenarios, you can help them with texting, you've had enough lays where you've seen enough scenarios. I made a podcast many, many years ago on how to become a day game coach. So get into coaching. But what coaching also does is boost your ego. If you're quite new to the game, I remember my first few coaching sessions where I had to demo. I realized that I performed better. I did riskier sets. I spoke to hotter girls and I often got laid more when I was teaching bootcamp or from the approaches I did on bootcamp. Why is that? It's because there's pressure. There's a gun to your head. There's a spotlight on you where you have to perform. You have to be a bit more dancing monkey. And ego comes into it. Ego comes into play. You don't want to fail in front of a student. So you put that extra oomph into it. You have that extra mojo. You have that extra twinkle. And what do you know? You get more results. So it's a win for the student. He sees better game. And it's a win for you. I remember when I was living with John Matrix, the only times we'd really day game, we were such lazy bastards. The only times we would really day game properly would be on the boot camps, because we knew we would have to do demo sets every Saturday and Sunday. So let's say we did 5-10 demo sets a weekend, we would live off those numbers that we had collected for the rest of the week, which made our Monday to Friday game very lazy. But anyway, I shall finish with a lay report, a bragging lay report, another Tom Torero bragging lay report. Why? Because it's good for my own growth. It's good for my own ego. And I'm not going to lie, the first few months in Russia were tough. My heart just wasn't into it. I got laid. I got some decent stuff on film. I wasn't worried about the documentary. I was more worried about my mojo. And I was worried about thinking, well, were my best days past? Am I always going to be now sleeping with girls in their mid-20s, upper-20s, you know, has the quality gone down? Has my fire gone down? Well, as they say, you can't trick your dick. Your dick doesn't lie. And I came back here after Van Adventures in Helsinki, and there was sunshine, and I had a new camera set up, and I walked out of my apartment, and day game gods delivered. I saw a girl, a student. She was 18. She was a medical student. I opened her, I instant dated her. She seemed very bookish, being a medical student. She seemed very cultural, very knowledgeable, a bit quirky. And anyway, 18 years old, hot. I had those voices in my head, you know, even on the instant date. Are my best days over? Is this just going to be another dead end? Is this city not working? Should I just, you know, should I just pause the project? And anyway, long story short, yesterday was the first date. The day two, as they say in pickup, and it was a walk in the sunshine. It was a shisha bar and a beer, then back to mine. Great sex, the best lay of the year, the hottest girl of the year, the best pull of the year. And I'm smashing this girl yesterday multiple times. My dick realized, woohoo, you know, you haven't lost your mojo. It was just, this is what you needed to go for. And walking around yesterday evening, walking around this morning in the sunshine with more swagger. So this is the chicken and the egg thing. Which comes first? The higher SMV or the game which produces or fakes the higher SMV, which then becomes higher SMV? It's this upward spiral of girls this morning looking at me, grinning at me, giving me IOIs. Why? Because I got laid yesterday with an 18-year-old. Do you need to know that? No. And in that Morphing Motivations post, I say if somebody gets laid abroad and they don't talk about it or tweet about it, did it really happen? Like the tree falling in the forest and nobody sees it or hears it, did it really happen? Well, for delusions of grandeur, for game progress, it was good for me. Do I need to pick up any more girls to get any more reference experiences to say to my ego, you can do this, you haven't lost it? No, just once in a while I need to do a Tiger Woods, hit a gold medal to remind myself I've still got it. And I find much less now. I'm as ridiculously egotistical, having a point to prove. I'm doing other things. The focus certainly shifts. But once in a while, do you need to feel like Rasputin? Yes. Do you need to relight the mojo and the swagger? Yes. So, enough bragging for today. I shall leave it there because it's too beautiful to be indoors. I hope this is going to last, so I'm going outside now for more day game. Hopefully still with that swagger in the sun. And next week, I don't know where I'll be. I might be in the van. I might be in the UK seeing family. So I wish you well. We shall get back to a bit more of the Boney M cover. Enjoy this delightful story of the dark monk himself, Mr. Rasputin. Until next week, goodbye.
Tonight. demands to do something about this outrageous man became louder and louder.